The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning. The Constituencies Commission wants voter parity and suggests we might need five more seats. More than 13,000 new names on the voters register so far. And the vaccine drive begins in Luthro. And in our discussion today, we are talking with the Bahamas Christian Council on this Holy Thursday as we head into the Easter holiday weekend. So much to talk about. That's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. You know that it's the start of the end of the old way.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Thursday, April 1st, 2021. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Laverne Gardner will be joining us. And our discussion with the Christian Council will continue into Morning Blend business as well, looking at the impact of the pandemic on some of the work of the church. That's coming up. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while you were sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, the Constituencies Commission is considering recommending as many as five additional constituencies. That's according to Chairman and Speaker of the House, Halson Moultrie. Moultrie telling the Nassau Guardian that they've been examining particularly the larger constituencies in Providence and Grand Bahama and trying to decide whether or not some of the boundaries in those constituencies need adjustments in order to get voter parity. He says, quote, "We figure we can achieve a certain level of voter parity in Grand Bahama and New Providence, and we are looking at trying to achieve a 5,000 vote count per constituency, which will naturally mean that we will have to suggest a complete redistribution of the boundaries and a reconfiguration of the boundaries. That would also mean that we would have to go through the process of drawing new maps, new constituencies, and perhaps adding a few constituencies." He says the commission is basically split on that matter. Meanwhile, as of Tuesday, the names of more than 5,700 dead people have been removed from the voters' register. That's according to Acting Parliamentary Commissioner Lovato Duncanson. He reported that there are more than 188,000 names on the register. He says there are more than 13,000 new voters. There were 181,000 registered voters in the 2017 election, with a voter turnout of around 88%. Numerous issues plagued the register ahead of the last general election. The Parliamentary Elections Amendment Act 2020 repealed the legal requirement for a five-year register, and a new permanent register came into force. People registered for the 2017 general election who have not relocated to a different residence for a period of 90 days or more shall remain registered as a voter entitled to vote unless their names have been removed by the Parliamentary Commissioner. As health officials express concern over a possible third wave of COVID-19 infections on Grand Bahama, hospitalizations on the island have increased significantly. As of Tuesday, 21 people were hospitalized with COVID-19 on Grand Bahama compared to 16 the day before. The increase coming after an uptick in cases on the island in recent weeks. On Tuesday, 6 new cases were confirmed on Grand Bahama, 14 on New Providence and 1 each on Abaco and Bimini. 35 people in total were hospitalized in the country with COVID-19 as of Tuesday. That figure represents nearly 13% of the 279 active cases. And while Commissioner of Police Paul Roll is assuring that police will be monitoring social gatherings closely over the Easter holidays, he says individuals have to take personal responsibility for their actions. Roll says adherence to the emergency order is vital, given that cases of COVID-19 have been rising in recent weeks. Overseas, the company at the center of quality problems that led Johnson & Johnson to discard an unknown amount of its coronavirus vaccine has a string of citations from U.S. health officials for quality control problems. Emergent BioSolutions, a little-known company at the center of the vaccine supply chain, was a key to Johnson & Johnson's plan to deliver 100 million doses of the vaccine to the U.S. by the end of May. But the company has been cited repeatedly by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, for problems such as poorly trained employees, cracked vials, and mold around one of its facilities. That's according to records obtained by the Associated Press through the Freedom of Information Act in the U.S. The records cover inspections at Emergent facilities since 2017. Johnson & Johnson said Wednesday that a batch of vaccine made by Emergent at its Baltimore factory, known as Bayview, can't be used because it didn't meet quality standards. It was unclear how many doses were involved or how the problem would affect future deliveries of J&J's vaccine. The company said in a statement that it will still plan to deliver 100 million doses by the end of June and was aiming to deliver those doses by the end of May. And as France battles a new virus surge that many believe was avoidable, intensive care nurses are saying they are under increased stress. People with COVID-19 occupy many of the beds in the ICU wards, including those in President Emmanuel Macron's hometown hospital in the medieval northern city of Amiens. Three people have died in the past 3 days. The vast medical complex is turning away critically ill patients from smaller towns nearby for lack of space. With France now Europe's largest virus danger zone, Macron on Wednesday ordered temporarily that schools be closed nationwide and new travel restrictions were put in place. He's insisting calls for a strict lockdown. He's resisting those calls, instead sticking broadly to a strategy of a third way between freedom and confinement, meant to keep both infections and restless populace under control until vaccinations take over. The government refuses to acknowledge failure and blames delayed vaccine deliveries and a disobedient public for soaring infections and saturated hospitals. Macron's critics blame arrogance at the highest levels. They say France's leaders ignored warning signs and favored political and economic calculations over public health and lives. In sports, battling through this current COVID-19 environment, Mike Sands, president of the North American, Central American, and Caribbean Athletic Association, NACAC, saying it's their intention to facilitate the advancement of athletics in the region as best as possible, moving forward with established plans in athletic competitions this year. The Grifter Games, now set for the latest it's ever been held in the calendar year, August 13th through 15th in Bermuda. The NACAC Under 18 and Under 23 championships are still on the table, tentatively set for July 9th through 11th in Grenada. Both are high on the priority list for NACAC, but the ever-present nature of COVID-19 leads to uncertainty in the staging of the two meets. You can read more about this and what NACAC's planning on doing in today's Guardian Sports section. And under normal circumstances, the Bahamas Aquatics Federation would have been preparing to send a team to Bridgetown, Barbados for the 2021 Grifter Aquatics Championships. But in the latest update from officials in Barbados, there's no telling when that event will happen, as the region is still battling COVID-19. There was no Grifter last year due to the presence of COVID-19, and the meet has already been postponed, as we said. Due to the spike in cases in Barbados in January, the host country placed restrictions on events in early February, and organizers were forced to postpone the meet. It's been 2 weeks since the host venue, the Barbados Aquatic Center, reopened after closing on January 6th. In the latest communication sent out by president of the Barbados Sports Association, it was stated that an update will be given on May 1st on the status of the championships and whether there will be a possible cancellation. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your weather for today, prefrontal activity associated with a cold front that's expected to enter the northwest Bahamas later today will support some unsettled weather across the area, while a weakening high-pressure system will dominate elsewhere. Beachgoers in the central and southeast Bahamas should exercise caution due to the risk of rip currents at East Coast beaches. Boaters should also remain alert for possible waterspout activity. For today, for the northwest Bahamas, look for partly to mostly cloudy and very warm conditions, with scattered showers and the chance of isolated thunderstorms today. Expect windy conditions with lingering showers and possible thunderstorm activity tonight. Small craft advisory comes into effect for the extreme northwest Bahamas by tonight. Small craft operators should also be alert for gusty winds and higher seas in or near heavy showers or thunderstorms. Winds southerly at 10 to 15 knots today, but expect winds to become northerly at 20 to 25 knots across the extreme northwest Bahamas by tonight. Seas 2 to 4 feet today, but building up to 6 to 9 feet in the extreme northwest Bahamas by tonight. For the central and southeast Bahamas, your forecast calls for variable cloudiness and breezy conditions, with a few scattered showers through tonight. A small craft caution remains in effect. Winds east to southeast at 15 to 20 knots, seas 4 to 7 feet. It's about 74 degrees right now in fair skies in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to around 88 Fahrenheit today, 31 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your Easter holiday weekend forecast and tell you all about this cold front coming up in your extended outlook after traffic in just a bit.
Wake up. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, the start of a new way. You know that it's the start of the end of
it's time for a break, but when we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9, your home for fresh news and smart talk all day.
Wake up, it's a new day.
Stay a step ahead of technology with certainty and support from Custom Computers. Our know-how team is here to help you zero in on your next big tech purchase, finding solutions that take your productivity to the next level using only the best and most reliable brands. With 4 stores all across Nassau on East Bay, West Bay, Old Fort Bay, and Palmdale, there's no stopping you from stepping up your tech. Reach out to us at 396-1100. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Basketball is back, baby, and so is NBA League Pass, only with Rev Trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free, along with incredible prizes, including a brand new 50-inch smart TV, NBA gear, and more. With tons of prizes and gear, signing up for Trio is the best on- and off-court move this year. Just call 601-8992 or visit www.rev.bs/promotions/trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Wake up. It's a new day.
Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. You know that it's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, all the way from Freeport, Grand Bahama, Laverne Gardner. Good morning, Laverne.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm great.
Happy Holy Thursday to you.
Yes. What is it? It's
Monday Thursday. That's right.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody's prepared and ready for the Easter holiday weekend. A lot of people on the streets already this morning. So if you have things to do, there's some people who got to jump on you already. So, hey, oh well. Anyway, we have a lot to get to this morning. In addition to more weather and traffic, we're going to be talking in our 7 o'clock hour. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with the vice chair of the Bahamas Christian Council. Pastor Mario Mox is going to be here. A lot to talk to him about this morning. We're going to take that into our Morning Blend business hour as well. But let's begin with what's in the news. And in the news, the headline of the NASA Guardian, Moultrie, we might need up to 5 more seats. The Constituencies Commission wants voter parity. Take a listen to this. This is our Jasper Ward writing about this in today's NASA Guardian. The Constituencies Commission is considering recommending as many as 5 additional constituencies, according to Commission Chairman and Speaker of the House, Alson Moultrie. He told the NASA Guardian, quote, we've been examining particularly the larger constituencies on Grand Bahama and New Providence with respect to making a decision on whether or not some of the boundaries in those constituencies need adjustments in an effort to get voter parity. We figure we can achieve a certain level of voter parity in Grand Bahama and in New Providence, and we were looking at trying to achieve a 5,000 vote count per constituency, which will naturally mean that we will have to suggest a complete redistribution of the boundaries and a reconfiguration of the boundaries. That would also mean that we would have to go through the process of drawing new maps, new constituencies, and perhaps adding a few constituencies. He said the commission is split on the matter, so it's not a unanimous thing at this time. He says, quote, some people feel that, let's see where this goes, some people feel that with the possibility of a snap election, we won't have the time to do such a reconfiguration. Mm-hmm. It is likely that if there is a snap election, that we will continue with the 39 constituencies. Well, of, oh my goodness gracious, with the existing configuration. When asked if the public can expect additional constituencies if an early election is not called, Moultrie replied, quote, right, if there is not a snap election, that would give us much more time because we already started the process very early in this term. So that would give the Constituencies Commission the time to really examine it and make recommendations, which at the end of the day, the Prime Minister can accept or reject. Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis has already revealed his thinking on boundary changes, speaking at an FNM community meeting on New Providence last year. He said the FNM has an easy task in the next election, predicting the result will be 39 FNM seats and 0 PLP seats. He said, at this time, remember this? Quote, the boundaries are not changing. You've got what you got, but it must be 39-0. Now, asked yesterday how many additional constituencies the commission is considering, recommending, Moultrie said, quote, right now we're looking at parity in New Providence in particular. You can easily get an additional 3-4 constituencies in Grand Bahama. Sorry, 3-4 constituencies and in Grand Bahama, an additional constituency. So 3-4 in New Providence and an additional one in Grand Bahama. Moultrie says the commission is aiming to keep an odd number of constituencies. Quote, so we're looking at between 43 and 45 seats. He noted that some constituencies are approaching 7,000 registered voters and others have fewer than 5,000. Golden Isles and Killarney were the two biggest constituencies in New Providence in terms of registered voters. During the 2017 general election, Golden Isles had 6,711 and Killarney had 6,372. St. Barnabas and Bain and Grantstown were the two smallest on the island with 3,989 and 4,306, respectively. Referring to this difference in constituency sizes, Moultrie said, quote, while we understand that we may not be able to achieve the same weight per vote in all the constituencies, especially the remote constituencies in the Family Islands, the objective is to try and get parity so that each vote would have the same weight. All right, man, there's a lot more said in today's NASA Guardian. All right, well, what do you make of that? What do you think of this? And this is why it's always, always premature to start campaigning and declaring yourself to be the nominee for a certain place when that place might not even exist by the time the election comes around. We've seen it many times before. Name changes, boundaries totally readjusted, and now additional constituencies being considered again. More in Grand Bahama. I thought y'all had a mass exodus.
I don't know. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about that. I mean, I don't have like the numbers of how many people are in each constituencies, but if you just kind of look at the last election, let's say, I think between Central Grand Bahama and West End and Bimini, they had maybe the highest amount of voter turnout, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm in Central Grand Bahama, so we had about a 90% turnout. And so that was like, what, about 5,600, almost that. So then we're looking at maybe, so about 6,000 maybe altogether registered voters that 90% came out. We're at the 5,000 because he said that that's what he was looking for, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we necessarily need another constituency in Grand Bahama. Mind you, though, Central does kind of extend pretty wide, but based on voter turnout, we're kind of all sitting maybe at the 5,000, a little bit over, some a little bit over the 5,000 mark. And then, like you said, there are people who've left because of Hurricane Dorian, who've left because of the economy. And so those numbers, you know, I'm sure they don't look the same now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Grand Bahama needs an additional constituency. I don't think that Grand Bahama needs an additional constituency. I think Grand Bahama needs better representation.
No, don't we all?
Okay. I don't know if we need another person in Parliament. How about those in Parliament just do their job?
I was about to say, those in Parliament do not do what we want them to do. Boy, is that what we need? More people to not do what we want?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Let's hear what you have to say, folks. Give us a call. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. 422-4796. Remember, standard text rates apply. Okay, let's go to the phone lines and hear what you have to say about this. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Spoon. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Scott. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for letting the nation know you all need good representation in Freeport, because that crew over there, that's the worst ever. When you had a former deputy prime minister complaining, saying he is ashamed of how his people are treated. Why he speaks for himself. But Mr. Strong.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No matter what they try, all these may change, but people might not change, okay? So they could try what they want to try. It ain't gonna work, okay? I mean, you see the foolishness. You see the foolishness. They try to cover up, they try to save seats. Now, guess what happened now? They could try and make Kalani 2 seats. They could try and make Golden Lions 2 seats. And they could try and make Blair 2 seats, okay? Wait a minute. It ain't going to work, okay? See what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's what I was talking about, okay?
Yep. Well, they're up to something. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Well, we will. Boy, I don't know.
But you know, Dwight, isn't there usually an adjustment anyway? Boundaries change.
They like to do that, yes.
Yeah, you know, they try to, I guess, tweak it to tip the scales. So
yeah,
this is not a surprise, but personally, from where I sit, I don't think we need more.
You know, it's some strange things happen where my parents are. Every election, it seesaws. They're back and forth. So,
right.
And you can tell it based on the party. So, let's see. So, right now, how does it work? When the FNM are in, they readjust the boundary to put them in Marathon. And then when the PLP win, they end up in Fox Hill. It has been happening since I was a child.
Right.
I'm like, what is going on? On here.
Well, you know, like everybody has to tip the scales. Each government, I guess, maybe they make those adjustments to ensure that they get a win. So, you know, they figure out where their people are and how best they can leverage that. Because in Central Grand Bahama has extended into 8 Mile Rock quite a ways. And I'm like, oh, we've gone that far? But, you know, like I said...
8 Mile Rock is in Central sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, look at that.
So, you know.
Well, let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning to you and to your co-host, Sierra Johnson.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good
morning. One of the most powerful things your co-host said is, I don't know, I don't feel. And she based it also on voter turnout. It isn't the amount of voter turnout, it's actually the population demographics of representation, whether or not a person votes or not. One of the things we have to take into consideration, the fact that the Free National Movement is in a state of panic now for failure to bring in an economic strategy to rebuild the economy and the crisis of fiscal crisis we facing at the central, at government level, the fact that there is no effective database COVID strategy that even allows us to impactfully open the economy. It simply is still with the make stuff up. But you have the Boundaries Commission. But first, before I get to this Boundaries Commission, what you have is Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis that wants to call an election by April 19th. That's the date. It basically gives, within a day or two, a pressured position to be in, because by May 25th, he must bring the budget to the House of Assembly for debate. That budget includes the anticipated expenses, but also the anticipated revenue. That revenue must also have attached to it a strategy for raising it, which could only mean reduction in the civil service, because if you look at our first 6 months, we borrowed $2.1 billion to cover $1.4 billion. We borrowed to cover according to the Attorney General, to cover the U.S. currency needed to keep the dollar stable. 60% of our revenue comes in the second half of the year. We're in that second half of the year, and we don't see the tourism numbers of previous years to sustain the revenue coming into the country. So as such, you would look to call an election, because in that election budget must come new taxation on a smaller grouping of people, and it also must come with most likely reduction in the civil service and reduction in infrastructural work, which is the major budget layouts. So the best thing for him in his mind is to call an election before telling people the whip, the stripes he'll be putting on their back. But the country itself is in seeking of leadership who can come up with an economic strategy that people can buy in and participate going forward. But when you look at the fact that the Boundaries Commission just reported, they claim that they are beginning a digital census to really know where the people are. They have not made an effective legislation to deal with people, for instance, who consider Grand Bahama their home, but due to COVID and the Dorian impact, is on in different locations. Mind you, we have a vote in place scenario because, you know, your students vote in place and diplomats vote in place. You could very easily create the environment for people who still consider East Grand Bahama. That remember now, 13,400 homes, according to the government, numbers have been destroyed. These homes have not been rebuilt. DRA has failed. So the question then becomes, how do you want them to consider East Grand Bahama or Abaco their home when they have nowhere to live? Are they to move to their cars or in the bushes or something? So these are issues that are facing our country. And you know, it's like so many different things in the next year that the FNM has the opportunity to strategically bring to fruition, including the myriad of broken promises, freedom of information, integrity.
Well, I suspect your date's a little off there. I really do. I think they'd be very reckless to try that, C. Allen. But who knows? Maybe later in the year, if things do improve, that's what people are suspecting. But that early, nobody's in shape for that one. I can't see that at all. I don't know how you feel about that, Laverne. That's
I don't know if I see it as April 19th.
No,
I don't.
That's crazy.
I'm thinking that maybe later in the year, but I certainly don't believe that we're going to have an election next year. I believe that it's going to happen this year. But then this all goes back to what we say. Where is the assigned date? Like C. Allen is saying, there's so many broken promises.
Right.
And this is one of them.
That's going to be a tough sell.
Where is the term limit?
Yep.
And where is the assigned date for elections?
So that whole time I'm reading this story, I'm like rolling my eyes because they're talking about if there is a snap election, then we won't be able to just... Come on now. You all are sounding very foolish.
Why are we still having that conversation?
Why? It makes no sense.
We shouldn't be guessing what may happen, what could happen, because election may happen in April, it may happen in June, it may happen next year.
And then you see the nonsense. He says they're going to make the recommendations, and the prime minister can decide if he wants to reject them or accept them. So everything comes back to the king of the Bahamas and whatever he wants. So if you all are happy with this, then go right ahead with this nonsense every single time we get close to an election. But,
you're just sitting, do you think it's going to happen? Like, when does this get tiring? When is this enough?
I'm there. I've been there.
I'm there. I've been there.
Yeah.
I should be able to say March, whatever date of 2022 is when we're going to have elections.
Yeah. And as a business person, if you are, you could plan like, okay, well, I know that by this time, the country's going to be in election mode, and so I'll need to do this, or I won't be able to do this. I'll be able to hire now, or I won't be able to hire now. I know people have that day off and whatever, whatever. Plan now. But you can't take a trip. You don't know what to do because you might miss the election. This is foolishness.
You know, it's crazy.
Oh, boy. Let's take some more calls. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, caller. Good morning.
Hey, yeah, good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Dwight. And good morning, Ms. Gardner.
Hi.
Morning.
Dwight, they want to create more seats and have a problem with 39 seats as we stand. What do you want to create more seats for? If they should eliminate some seats, to be honest with you. Because, Ms. Gardner, I have a question that I want to... I'm not want to put you on the spot, but I want to ask you about three or four questions in Grand Bahama, right? Is it facts and is it true from 2019 that people in Swedenski in particular are still living in tents after the hurricane?
Yes.
And you honestly, now, Mr. Strawn, they want to create more seats? Mr. Strawn, I don't want to really say nothing this morning, but I would ask you, you know, as a leading journalist, to have a team of reporters go and Sweden ski, right? Mr. Strode, if you have love in your heart for people, if you're not strong, the tears will drop back from you. You would drop out of your eyes because you have people in Sweden ski in Grand Bahama as we speak, right? Are still living in makeshift tents. There is no dorms, Dwight. When I had the photos came to me day before yesterday, it hurt me. It hurt me. You know why it hurt me? Because the person who was in charge of the place, who was in charge of the finances of this country, supposed to be representing those same people. But these same people won't create more seats for some black behemoth people to suffer some more. It's not fair. It's not fair, Dwight.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks
it's
a
lot. Not fair, brother.
Well, they say that'll improve the representation, although, as you say, right, with what we have right now. But okay.
I stand by my point. We don't need more. We need better. And there is a difference because more doesn't always mean better, right? And so that is what we need. We need better representation for all constituencies, not just in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Hi, caller. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you all.
Hi.
You know, I was sad to see that the prime minister is being duped into calling an early election.
Well, we don't know that yet, and we don't know, and he's people are
yeah, what I'm
suspected.
Saying is he's falling for it, because everybody, I mean, it's supposed to be. Now, let's say that, okay, this early election thing, I don't, it's a bunch of garbage, because why? You know, they say that there are excuses that there's not an early election when in the next time that the prime minister is going to have to raise the taxes, he's going to have to tax the people, right? And all sorts of evil is going to happen. So he can't present this in his budget that all the layoffs and the public service and the like, right? But how come the PLP plan doesn't have these? This raise in taxes. In fact, they have reduction in taxes, you know, and they say that how they're going to stimulate the economy is why why can't the FNM do the same thing and stimulate the economy with the PLP's plan and their first 100 days, the things they're going to do in their first 100 days, the FNM could do the same thing in the next 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, this is sad, man. You know, and governments only call early election because they sure they're gonna win. That's why governments call early elections, not because of some budget cycle. What is this? I never hear this thing nowhere in the world. Only in the Bahamas we hear this garbage, man. This sort of thing, you know. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. Well, it's a lot of speculation, so we don't know.
Right. And then the other thing is, Why are we having, I go back to this, why are we having a conversation talking about governments calling an early election, right?
Be more upset about that.
About the fact that you know, as the caller said, he's saying that the prime minister is being duped into calling an early election.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you had a set date for election, no one could quote unquote dupe you into or force you into anything.
Absolutely.
Because you have a set date.
Yeah. Now we know in the UK they have fixed dates, but they can also call a snap election. But you do that when you feel you've lost the mandate of the people. When you feel like you're losing control, something's going on, and we need to call an election. Right. But you don't just abuse that, like, well, I'm tired of this. Let's call an election. No.
Right. I woke up this morning, you know what?
Exactly.
Tomorrow, I feel like we should have election. People, we're having elections. What?
No, you can't do that. There have to be rules. It has to be agreed upon by the parliament. And but we can do this. We can do this. You promised us this. This is what we want. We said we want this. Why has it not happened? What's holding it up? What is the issue? And why are you playing with us, dangling this carrot around, laughing when people ask you about it? This is ridiculous.
You know what, Dwight? I'm going to say this. It is only ridiculous. It is only unconscionable when you are in opposition.
Yeah.
That's when it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's when it's unconscionable. That's when it's whatever. Only when you're in opposition.
Wow. Unbelievable. Call in, folks, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's read some of your text messages. This one here, the PM should close the beaches for this weekend. Wow, okay, well. Or people should behave and be in groups of five.
Why do people modify their behavior?
Right.
How's that?
Don't give them a reason to do it. Exactly.
Why don't we just modify our behavior? Why do we have to have all of these rules and strict stipulations? Why can't we just follow the guidelines already set and modify our behavior?
That's pretty easy. Pretty easy. This one here, I guess hell no to the five more seats. The MPs are doing nothing now. Divide what you have into 39. Giving more to each constituency, $100,000 now a year. Who's going to pay them? We are broke. Okay. We don't need no more seats added in Grand Bahama because we only have a little representation now with the five that we do have. Another one. The scariest thing about this FNM government is that they genuinely feel they're doing a good job. On a side note, just a few weeks ago, your paper said the Attorney General said that we had to borrow U.S. dollars to keep the dollar stable. After the Prime Minister said the value was never in jeopardy. Well, the AG is often saying some unusual things, often. what's this now?
They should collaborate, you know? Let's get our story straight before we go to the media.
I'm sure your guests would also agree. Most people who reside in the Freeport area definitely agree Grand Bahama needs better representation. After the PLP in 2012 to 2017, government representation as the PLP was wiped out in Grand Bahama, 2017 elections winning. I'm not understanding what's going on here, but definitely, I get you need better representation, basically.
Yeah, we absolutely need better representation, and we've needed better representation.
Mm-hmm. Dwight, you keep harping on the set election date. Are you saying that even with a set election date, there is no possibility of a prime minister calling an early election? I'm not saying that, but then he can't just do it on a whim, as we just discussed, right? It would have to be agreed upon, and there need to be a valid reason. You've clearly lost the mandate of the people. Something happened, there was a referendum, and everything's gone crazy, now it looks like you don't have control. A bunch of people defected to other parties, or everyone's calling for you, for your head. I don't know. There would be reasons. We can put that in the law. What would be the reasons why you need to call a snap election?
Why you can't call, right.
Right. You just can't make it, as you said, arbitrary. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do this because I think. But snap election and early election, nah. Okay.
Those should be out of the thing of it is those should be out the outside of the norm.
Yeah.
You know,
the norm
should be that you know when the election is going to be. It's going to be on the second Wednesday of March. And so we know that.
Yeah.
Every 5 years. Every 5 years, second Wednesday of March, we're going to go to the polls. If something happens, like you said, and there has to be a snap election, it's already enacted into law, and then it's a process, it's agreed upon, then we understand why. But generally speaking, I don't get why this is so difficult.
Obviously, they just don't want it. Obviously, they just don't want it. Here is another text. They're so sure of a second term, that's when the promises will be fulfilled. Yeah, and we're hearing a lot of that, actually. We're hearing them say that. I have 10 years. I have 10 years to make these things happen. Okay. Let's take these calls. Good morning, call. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Okay, I'm just making a statement, right? All the past election, from the premier to the former prime minister, everybody had that opportunity to decide what date they wanted the election. All the former prime ministers, they used to be calculating 9 plus 1 is 10, whatever it is. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, If he has the opportunity, why are you singling him out as he?
He promised that he was going to stop that.
Promised, right? Right, but it's still, we still have the up till the next.
So you don't care. You don't care that everything is up to one man. You don't care that he gets to decide everything. He gets to decide whether they.
Prime Minister, those.
Who cares? We did a lot of garbage in the past. It makes no sense.
But like I said, we still have up until he calls the election to decide. Okay, this is a sad date.
Okay.
He made plenty promises.
And you're just going to let it slide. You get up there, you win an election based on promises, and you do nothing. And, okay, it's fine. Everybody else broke promises, so why can't you? That okay, the brainwashing is complete. You all are fully enslaved. It's great. Love it, love it, love it. Why complain at all? We should just really play music. We could do it. We'll play songs with guard in the title. Because
you know, the reasoning of... It was done before. It's always been done. Other people have done it to justify. It isn't right. It wasn't right then, and it isn't right now. And whomever is in power, see, this bias, because perhaps maybe this is the government that you voted for. Mm. The point of the matter is, whomever is the government, right now, the governing party is the Free National Movement. You said that this is what you were going to do. Mm-hmm. We are simply saying live up to what you said, because you're right. You have the power to make the change. So make the change that you said you would make. Mm-hmm. Why is it wrong for us to hold you to your word? It is not wrong. And just because other prime ministers did not do it when they should have, yes, doesn't mean that this prime minister should also get a free pass. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right, let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Could anyone of you name 3 to 4 things this government has done since taking the power 4 years ago?
Yeah, man.
Anything that they said they were going to do when their manifesto planned for the Bahamian people?
They fixed the dump. That was a huge thing.
Listen, all right. You can name 3 more?
They have fixed some roads that weren't... We had no road
roads
fix.
And infrastructure.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing. The previous administration seemed to not believe in infrastructure. So they didn't seem to believe in it. We had some horrible, horrific roads.
Let me give you a prime example. Mm-hmm. The other day in Ragged Island, they took 5 aircrafts to Ragged Island. Okay, the government says they have no money, right? They took an entourage. They even chartered a vessel to take vehicles to Ragged Island. Which Ragged Island have just a few vehicles, that's where my family from. But I'm going to tell you this. Those people in Ragged Island still is not going to vote for the government, okay? And the pain and suffering this government has put on the Bahamian people unnecessarily and still blaming it on Dorian and the pandemic and saying the Bahamas government don't have any money, but yet you could find funding to do all these stuff. This is unbelievable, Dwight, because... I don't have a problem if they took 2 aircraft with an entourage of important persons from different ministries and reporters. That's fine. But 5? Come on, Dwight. They got to do better than this, man. And now they're talking about making another cabinet minister?
House seats, more parliamentary.
What is the difference?
What do you mean by that?
It's still going to be some more expense put on the government, right, while the people are suffering.
Okay, well,
and you're saying to talk about early election. Have you noticed that they were spraying the ballot boxes up last week? Why do you think they're spraying the ballot boxes almost a year and a half out? Okay,
spraying it in what way?
The ballot boxes to just have them set up in the parliamentary office? No,
spraying
they're
it
preparing
with what?
For early election. Okay, if you listen to what the Prime Minister said on the TV yesterday, I don't blame the parties who do a campaign. Indirectly, he's saying he don't blame the parties who are campaigning because they are social distancing and they're wearing the masks. So what is that telling you, sir? Have you ever seen a Prime Minister go on the campaign trail a year and a half out?
No, we've not seen
campaigning
that.
Campaigning with... or with persons who are vying for seats. You never seen that, Dwight.
It's unprecedented.
Months before an election, but not a year, over a year out from an election. Hell no.
It's crazy.
Something is totally wrong with this picture. And have a nice day.
Yep. Thank you very much. It is very unusual, extremely unusual. And he won't come out and say, hey, the election's going to be in May, so we could calm down. We don't have to be doing this right now. We don't even know what the seats are going to be like because we might have to change the boundaries. Say these things. Say these things so that people will stop acting the fool. But no, this is what they love.
Because you're not going to say it because maybe you are considering.
Yep, maybe you are. And as a caller said last week, I mean, I think that's a pretty good theory that he's doing this so that certain people will run out of money. There's all these months to go. By the time the election comes around next year, you're like, you spent all your money in 2021.
Wow.
And now what? Where are your t-shirts at? Okay, let's take a couple more calls and we got to take a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning to you and your guest.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question for both of you. When is elections? Every what?
It's supposed to be every 5 years.
Every 5 years.
Okay, so if we elect a government based on a 5-year principle, don't they have to, if within that time frame, they can carry out any mandate within the 5-year period? As relates to the 6th election date, can he not just implement that in the 4th year, the 5th year, based on the fact that he has that time?
He can. Do you have any indication that he's going to do it?
So what I'm trying to get at is why do we say the government has failed us or the government has broken its promise when they haven't even demitted office yet? I think when somebody demits office, we can say they failed us, they didn't do what they supposed to have done or what they promised us. But if we elected them for 5 years, we gave them a 5-year contract.
All right. So do you feel confident that that may still be coming, that freedom of information is still coming? Because we've been here before, the 4th year, where things they promised we're like, okay, maybe it's coming in the last few months. Maybe they'll do it right before the election, and we didn't get those things. We've been here before, and it didn't end well.
In all fairness, Dwight, you have been pressed with projects and stuff that you would have had to have done personally, and I'm sure that you had a deadline to meet when you were in college or whatever the case may be. If you got it in at the last minute, you got it in, did you not?
Okay. How you run your personal life shouldn't be the way you run the government, though.
But the fact is, we gave them a 5-year contract. Okay. We can't say, listen, we gave you a 5-year contract. I expect you to do it within the 5 years. Now, if you didn't do it in the 5 years, I hold you accountable to that.
All right, so let's talk. Let's talk seriously. So there are signs around that we may have an early election, right? How do you fix what you just said
accordance with that? Who is flying around early elections? The Prime Minister has already stated that there is no early election.
He said a lot of things before.
And I get that people may not trust that statement, and I understand why based on what they're seeing happening. But the fact is, that's what he said. And so we project so many different thoughts and ideas and sometimes a lot of conspiracies that creates a lot of angst unnecessarily for our people. And so what I'm saying is, let's look at what is stated. Now, again, if he goes against what he's stated, then you could hold him accountable to that. But the facts are on the ground that he's been elected for 5 years. He has that time frame to carry out that mandate. If he gets it done on the last day of his electoral process, that's the contract that we've given him, 5 years.
And so if for some reason we have a snap election, we have an early election, and he's not delivered on the promises, then we can say it's failure.
Yeah, but you can't say failure when you haven't expired on the time frame. That's reality of life. Am I not correct?
These are the low-hanging fruit. For some reason, you've chosen not to pick the low-hanging fruit. You've just let them there. Why would you do that?
I totally agree. It's a low-hanging fruit. I think it should be something that you could get rid of right away, alleviate the challenges. And in fact, that would be a feather in your cap because it shows that you're serious and committed to what you promised. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that we cannot say that they have failed when the time frame that we have given them has not expired. That's my point.
I hear you. I hear you. We will see. I hope you call us back whenever we get close, when we know the election date and we have this conversation again. Please don't forget.
Have a good one.
Okay. All right. Take care. Because, I mean, we've seen lots of things passed in the last few months, and then the other people come in here because it wasn't enacted, and they just, oh, forget that, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you do it too late, there can be other issues. Other issues as well.
Maybe we'll just be positive and say, you know, 5 years isn't up, like the caller said, and so there is still time to have the set date for elections. There's still time to have the Freedom of Information Act and all of those things. So there's still time. I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I'm scared. I'm really scared. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, you should be scared. Good morning, Dwight.
Oh,
how you doing?
Oh, dear. Good morning. I'm well.
Good. And good morning, Ms. Garden. How are you?
Good morning, Anton. How are you?
I'm a bit perturbed. Well, I'm extremely perturbed, to be quite frank. I'm very disgusted. It's when you listen to that last caller, and more than that, sitting and allowing to spill over the airwaves, right?
Anton, something's going on with your phone. I don't know what that is. What's happening?
Yeah.
Cutting in and out. Okay. All right. You got to call us back. Let's take this one. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dwight. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Like Antoine began to express, I'm also concerned with that mindset that was expressed by the last caller. Firstly, if all the signs are all around that things are going contrary to what was pronounced on the campaign trail as well as in the first year of governance, and you see no sign that you're getting any closer to those goals, you expect people to speculate that this stuff is not going to happen. I mean, we are 4 years in the five-year term, the last year of this five-year term with this prime minister. And a lot of the promises that he has pronounced has not come true yet. I mean, it's going to take a miracle in the last year with the pandemic that we're dealing with the still Dorian and the other hurricanes that we're dealing with, for a lot of these promises that was offered to the public to become reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is absolutely an insult to we as Bahamians to be so lackadaisical for the last caller to even begin to hint or suggest that we should just lay back and see these things not coming to pass in a time when we feel that they should have so easily, if they had done so from the first year, to actually do it in the last year. That is totally unacceptable. And we as Bahamians, our eyes are wide open. We are analyzing the things that our governments are telling the people because we were promised so many things from prior administrations and nothing came, and hardly nothing came out of them. And then to expect that this current one is going to fulfill things that the others did not do? No, man, come on. Bahamians are wiser than that. Dwight, thank you for taking my call, okay?
Thank you very much. All right. Phone lines are all lit up. Let's take another call quickly. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Caller, good morning.
Yes, Dwight, how you doing?
Doing well.
I don't understand it, you know. It's very simple. Another gentleman who just spoke, I know he's much older than me, but listen, man. If you have a deadline, you have a deadline. I'm not going to deal with you until you finish the contract. It's simple. I don't know why people come on a radio talk show with their own agenda. I can give you a contract, and at the end of that contract, if it's not completed, then I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give the White opportunity to run the Guardian. He has a 3-year contract. Once that's up, then I'll know if you are good for a renewal, which means re-election. I don't know why it's so difficult.
That, you know you're not being honest, right? You know this. You know that if in the middle of, in the first year of my contract, I burn down half the building's burned down, all the wires are eaten up, every single thing collapses, let him finish. Let him finish.
We're talking about politics.
So a year out of the contract expiring, you're not going to be concerned if you don't see that he's not doing the things that he said that he's going to do. You're just going to say, okay, he has a year. I'll just give him a year. You're not going to follow up. You're not going to say, you promised X, Y, and Z, and you've got a year more. Are you able to complete all of these things that you said that you would complete and have not done?
No, that's just Dwight. He's last minute. He'll do it all in the last year. I know him. 10 months, he can get it done. That's just his style. Yeah. Like, okay.
No, we don't do that.
Mm.
We don't do that. We give someone a contract, and we are on them. So we follow up, and these are personal contracts. If someone has a contract to build your home, you want to make sure that they are meeting those deadlines. You want to make sure that they are fulfilling what they're supposed to fulfill. If you feel as if they're not moving fast enough, you call them into question.
Absolutely.
So this is no different. We've given this government 5 years. We're looking at their contract is almost expired. If we go with some who believe it's there's going to be a quick election, that means that the contract is going to expire sooner than it's supposed to.
And you didn't deliver the goods.
So we have a right to call into question whether or not they are going to fulfill what they are contractually obligated to fulfill.
Mm-hmm. And there are
what they committed to.
Absolutely. Plus, in many, many jobs, you have reviews, you have performance reviews.
Right.
People will critique you and say, well, but so far, so good, or so far, you need to pick up on this. And that's what people are doing. And they have the right, as the employers, they have the right to do this. They have the right to be critical, the right to say, we demand better. We demand that you put this thing that you promised in place now, not at the last minute. We have the right to do that. And if you all have a problem with that, well, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. But that hands-off approach is why we are where we are right now in this country. Where you let these people, you put them in and let them do whatever they want for 5 years and then complain about it afterwards. That's insane. That's insane.
Not only is that insane, this current government ran on accountability. Did they not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we are not unreasonable if we are holding their feet to the fire based on the things that they said.
We're going to take one more call. And then we'll take a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Morning, Mr. Grant. How you doing, sir?
Doing well.
Good morning to your guest. Don't worry. This ain't Anton, sir. You could laugh that one off. Mr. Strong, on a serious note, those two gentlemen, obviously they never worked for no one before in their life, and they probably was rich forever and never had to work for no one, or no one worked for them, you know. Because you could give someone a 5-year contract, Mr. Strong, if they're doing what they say they supposed to be doing, what you do? Let them go, right?
That's how it works.
In the rest of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in their world, I guess it don't work like that. But Mr. Strong, the only reason why the Prime Minister would not do those things that he said, that he promised he would, is because his power would be gone. The Prime Minister won't have nothing to hold over the MP's head and the Cabinet Minister's head if he didn't have these powers.
Mm.
He would not have anything to hold over their head. What else he could do to them that he can't do what he could do right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing he could do with them and tell them, if you all don't do what I say, we got our election. So you know what that means? All of the money they're making, gone. Everyone, gone. So you know what that means? They do whatever he say do for 5 years. And he tell you, he promised them, he promised he'll do it next time.
Yep.
The Prime Minister will do. You know why he would do it next time? Because he know he will get his pension, and you think he care after that? Y'all have a nice day.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hey, it's Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday. We should be all happier and speaking more pleasant type things, shouldn't we, Laverne? No? Is that how? Oh,
yes, yes, we should. Yes, we should.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with one morning blend after this.
Hosanna. In the highest,
We went upstairs, broke the bread and drank the wine from the only living vine that we would taste. And I watched them take him up the mountainside where he was crucified, though innocent.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Roaming just got easier. Say hello to more with our new Liberty Prime plan. With more minutes, more texts, and more data to do the things you love right here at home and even when you travel. With the all-new Liberty Prime, Liberty Premium, and Liberty Elite, you've got one less worry. Roam again. Alive. Believe in best. Believe in best.
Cash is what we have been using for generations, but it's no longer the only way to pay or receive money. That is great news for business owners. I'm Lasagna Misick, Managing Director at RBC Royal Bank, encouraging you to find out how going cashless can benefit your business with faster transactions and settlements, better cash flow management, plus reduced risk of theft. Learn more at rbc.com/Caribbean/go-cashless. RBC Royal Bank. Banking reimagined.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Time for your first look at traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In your real-time traffic this hour, Smile Butler Highway seeing some heavy traffic in the northbound lanes heading towards Tonic Williams-Darling Highway. Gladstone Road got some building traffic at this hour as well in the northbound lanes heading towards JFK Drive. Elsewhere, we're seeing just pockets along Prince Charles Drive and Foxhill Road at the intersection there, and Foxhill Road northbound heading towards that intersection. And the intersection of Burnett Road, Wolf Road, Village Road, and Soldier Road. You've been seeing some congestion there at this hour. Elsewhere, not looking so bad on this Thursday before Good Friday. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert. We'll have another update for you in about half an hour. Brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. And time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Rev Cable Bahamas. We've got prefrontal activity associated with the cold front that's expected to enter the northwest Bahamas later today, and that's going to support some unsettled weather across the area, while a weakening high-pressure system will dominate elsewhere in the country. Beachgoers in the central and southeast Bahamas should exercise caution due to the risk of rip currents at East Coast beaches, and boaters should be alert for possible water spout activity today as well. From the northwest Bahamas, your forecast today calls for partly to mostly cloudy and very warm conditions with scattered showers and the chance of isolated thunderstorms. Expect windy conditions with lingering showers and possible thunderstorm activity tonight. Small craft advisory will come into effect for the extreme northwest Bahamas by tonight. Small craft operators should be alert for gusty winds and higher seas in or near heavy showers or thunderstorms. For the central and southeast Bahamas today, variable cloudiness and breezy conditions expected with a few scattered showers through tonight. A small craft caution remains in effect. 75 degrees right now in Nassau. Mostly cloudy skies right now. Look for highs getting up to around 88 Fahrenheit, 31 Celsius.
Overnight lows tonight getting down to 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. In your extended outlook, that cold front will continue to push southeastwards through the islands through Friday, with cooler temperatures, brisk winds, and hazardous beaching and boating conditions behind it. So for tomorrow, Good Friday, look for mostly cloudy, windy, and cool conditions with scattered showers and the chance of isolated thunderstorms mainly near the frontal boundary. Saturday, partly to mostly sunny, cool, and windy with in the northwest and central Bahamas, but variable cloudiness and windy conditions with a few scattered showers and the chance of isolated thunderstorms in the southeast Bahamas. Temperatures going to be a little bit lower and more comfortable over the weekend. Highs getting up to the upper 70s only and the upper 60s for lows at night. That pattern should hold until at least the middle of next week when we start to warm up again. That's your Morning Blend weather check, brought to you by Rev. And for basketball fans, it's time to sign up or upgrade to Rev Trio and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free. Call 601-8992 or email trio at cablebahamas.com to sign up. Rev, you and us together.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Comfort Suites Paradise Island is the best kept secret in the Bahamas. Located directly next door to the Atlantis Resort, you'll receive all the privileges of an Atlantis guest with all the benefits of a Comfort Suite stay. Enjoy everything Atlantis has to offer, including Aquaventure Water Park, plus all the amenities of Comfort Suites, free Wi-Fi, free breakfast daily, and kids stay, play, and eat free. Visit ComfortSuitesPI.com.
Gran, it was good to see you, but we've got to get home.
Yep, we've got to let the dog out.
Speaking of dogs, you won't believe who I saw the other day.
Who?
Honey.
Remember Anton, Jeanette's oldest boy? The one with the dogs.
With local claims managers, we pay your motor claims fast. We're like a goodbye at your granny's that doesn't take 30 minutes.
We really got to get going.
So soon?
CG Atlantic Agents. Insurance, health, pensions, life. Good like that. That's Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited, trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
You value every dollar. And now your dollar has stronger value with BTC's new $1 talk plans. Say hello to Dollar Holla deals. Talk away for just $1 a day with the one-day talk plan giving you 30 minutes of talk time to use when you need it. Or the $3 three-day talk plan with 90 minutes of talk time and free WhatsApp texts. Your dollar has stronger value with BTC's Dollar Holla deals. Activate and talk away for just $1 a day. Conditions apply.
Imagine. That's where every advancement begins. With an idea that things can be different. Better. Now. Imagine a world where your entertainment experience was all about you. Your style. Your show. At your budget. At Rev, that's what we've imagined. To join the conversation and learn more about the future of Rev TV, visit us at rev.bs/imagine.
Gran, it was good to see you, but we've got to get home.
Yep, we've got to let the dog out.
Speaking of dogs, you won't believe who I saw the other day.
Who?
Honey.
Remember Anton, Jeanette's oldest boy? The one with the dogs.
With local claims managers, we pay your motor claims fast. We're like a goodbye at your granny's that doesn't take 30 minutes.
We really got to get going.
So soon?
CG Atlantic Agents. Insurance, health, pensions, life. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited, trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
Wake up.
And we're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Laverne Gardner. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Pastor Mario Moxie from the Bahamas Christian Council. We're going to be talking with him from quite a bit of the morning. We're looking forward to that after the news. Just want to read a couple of these messages before we break. This is about what we've been talking about this morning, the Constituencies Commission contemplating more seats, although they're not unanimous in this belief that they need more seats. This text here is saying the Speaker of the House is only reporting what the commission is considering and contemplating. What's the big deal? There are more commission reports to come, and again, he will report. That's fine. Yep. And we're just saying, based on what he's saying right now, some of us have some issues with that.
Right.
Right. Like, so
we're just having conversation about what's in the news.
Exactly. Right. This person says here, can you explain why we have all these seats in New Providence? Well, it's because of the population, the majority of the population of the country.
Most populated island.
Right. I think, what is it up to now? 80% or more of the population on this tiny little island. So that's why they have more representatives here. And they're trying to balance it out so they have one representative for every 5,000. And so the more people that move from New Providence, the more challenging that becomes. And so that's why we're where we are. Another one says here, I don't care for the Bahamas to have a fixed election date. I think most Bahamians love the fact that we don't know the date. It has much more sentimentality.
What? Okay.
Laverne, we'll be back after the news.
Okay.
Yeah.